Welcome back to Bitcoin Builders. Today we are doing the Bitcoin Builders weekly breakdown, and boy oh boy do we have something interesting. Earlier this year, Ordinals blew the doors off the Bitcoin space with a Bitcoin-native, truly on-chain version of an NFT. Some thought it was exemplary of innovation returning to Bitcoin. Others hated it, convinced it was going to cause chain bloat and crowd out Bitcoin's quote-unquote more important use cases. That debate has gotten even more intense around BRC20. BRC20 effectively takes advantage of inscriptions to launch a very primitive version of a Bitcoin-native token. Yes, it's coins on Bitcoin. And given that, you know it's controversial. Bitcoin Builders is brought to you by InWolf's Clothing. Wolf is the first startup accelerator focused entirely on Bitcoin and Lightning startups. Check them out at wolfnyc.com. It's Saturday, May 6th. This is Bitcoin Builders. Let's go. All right, friends, welcome to a very spicy Bitcoin Builders Weekly Breakdown. Now, obviously, the entire theme of Bitcoin Builders is entrepreneurial and creative energy around Bitcoin. One of the interesting things that creativity and entrepreneurship runs up against in this context is the inherent conservatism of the chain. Many, dare I say most, Bitcoiners have a strong sense of the importance of Bitcoin as a non-sovereign, fixed supply, uncensorable global money. And because of that, innovations around or changes to the base chain tend to face a ton of resistance. Now, interestingly, all of the changes and innovations we're talking about today were made possible by updates to the Bitcoin protocol, Taproot and SegWit, that were never intended to enable NFTs and token projects, which, if nothing else, is a great reminder that change can end up being used for something it wasn't intended for. At the same time, for those bullish folks out there is something profound going on, culturally, technologically, and economically, and they're starting to see answers to a specter of future concerns. The goal of this show is not to argue good or bad one way or another. We're going to have a number of guests on in the coming weeks and months who can give you that perspective. Today, we're just trying to understand what's happening and the state of the conversation. Now, to kick it off, I'll start with a tweet from the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine, David Bailey. He writes, "I really hate writing this tweet, but BRC20 tokens are about to be the most controversial thing happening in Bitcoin by a long shot. Spent a few hours looking into how they work. They're ERC-20 tokens on meth. Miners gonna get rich. Everyone else need layer 2 solution." But before we get to BRC-20, we have to start with a little background on Ordinals. Ordinals launched onto the Bitcoin scene in January with a proposal by developer Casey Rotimer. He proposed a numbering system for individual sats based on the order they were mined in, which allowed the smallest units of Bitcoin to be used as unique identifiers for attached data. That data could be anything from monkey pictures to a fully functional, albeit primitive, version of the video game Doom. Attaching data to a sat became known as inscribing, and by mid-April, over 1 million ordinals had been inscribed. The number of ordinals on the Bitcoin network ticked over 3.5 million on Thursday night and shows no signs of slowing down. Now, inscribing an ordinal makes use of the expansion of data availability that was introduced in the SegWit and Taproot upgrades. The original intention of this additional data was to allow for more complex transactions to be recorded on the blockchain, for functionality like Lightning channel operations and multi-signature wallets. The Ordinals protocol exploited this additional space, jamming arbitrary data into the witness allocation, slapping a number on the sat that was transacted, and preserving whatever data was chosen forever on the Bitcoin blockchain. The system created something that functioned a lot like Ethereum NFTs with one big difference. Ethereum NFTs are stored off-chain, with the on-chain representation pointing to data storage elsewhere on the internet. Bitcoin ordinals, on the other hand, are stored on-chain, which presents the interesting feature of being just as indestructible as Bitcoin itself, along with the issue of needing to work within the limitations of the Bitcoin network. Witness data is small, limited by the block size of 4 megabytes, but functionally usually much smaller, so ordinal inscriptions tend to be pretty limited in their scope compared to Ethereum NFTs, which can be quite large and complete in some cases, such as NFTs which granted the user access to fully rigged 3D models for use in video chat programs. As you might imagine, controversy was loud from the very start of Ordinals. Some of the old guard serving in Bitcoin warned that the blockchain would become bloated with stored images, and that transaction fees would spike due to the increased demand for block space. The arguments generally aligned with the rationale presented for small blocks during the 2017 block size wars. People were concerned that ordinals would accelerate the speed at which the Bitcoin blockchain grew, making it unable to be easily downloaded and stored using low-end hardware. In many cases, the arguments took on a pseudo-moralistic tone. effectively arguing that inscribing pictures to the blockchain was a waste of precious block space and crowded out more legitimate uses of Bitcoin. That is in spite of inscribers being willing to pay up big time for the blockchain usage. In February, a project called Taproot Wizards, led by Udine Wertheimer and Eric Wall, really pushed ordinals into the limelight. The project featured picture files styled on the classic Magic Internet money meme from the early days of Reddit's r Bitcoin forum in 2013. A big part of the idea behind the project was to show people what was possible in the technical sense while having a lot of fun. The major technical achievement was succeeding in mining an entire 4 megabytes filled up with a single inscription transaction. There are now 2,105 Taproot Wizards inscribed on the blockchain, and there may never be any more. As for problems, while the concerns about the blockchain getting bloated are a little bit longer term, the issue of network congestion and exponentially increasing fees have definitely started to show up. Daily Bitcoin fees in aggregate are now up 12,800% from where they were at the end of last year. The average fee to send a regular transaction has spiked to above $7, compared to less than $2 in December. Because they use more data and are harder to fit into a valid block, inscription transactions require higher fees. The average fee to inscribe a 100 kilobyte file is now above $100. Taproot Wizards tweeted on May 2nd, "In February, we inscribed the Taproot Wizards collection, which took over 80 megabytes of Bitcoin block space. But now Bitcoin transaction fees are so high that if we tried inscribing the 80 megabytes of Wizards today, the fees would have cost us 32 Bitcoin, almost $1 million. Daily Bitcoin transactions are at all-time record levels, exceeding 682,000 transactions per day this week. Ordinal inscriptions have now paid around $7.6 million in fees to be included on the blockchain. The mempool is full, with 300,000 unconfirmed transactions waiting to be processed, and blocks are typically full. After taking over 3 months for the first million ordinals to be inscribed, inscriptions are now being made at a rate of more than a million per week. And while NFT-style JPEGs attracted the early attention, most ordinals are now text files, which are typically smaller and less costly to inscribe. And specifically, they are tiny five-line text files, but Bitcoiners are not inscribing haikus or marking significant dates. Instead, they're creating a new emergent meme coin ecosystem using nothing but text files." And now a quick word from our sponsor. Today's podcast is brought to you by In Wolf's Clothing. Wolf is the first startup accelerator dedicated to Lightning. 4 times per year, Wolf brings teams from around the world to New York City to work with like-minded entrepreneurs, pushing the boundaries of what's possible with Bitcoin and Lightning. The program is designed to help early-stage startups achieve product-market fit, develop their brand, secure early-stage funding, and grow businesses that fuel the global adoption of Bitcoin. Learn more or apply at wolfnyc.com. That's wolfnyc.com. And now back to the show. In early March, a pseudonymous on-chain analyst named Domo launched the Bitcoin Request for Comment, or BRC20, token standard. The standard arose out of a late-night Twitter thread and was a great example of how simple ideas can spawn a wave of enthusiasm. BRC20 uses ordinal inscriptions to deploy token contracts, mint tokens, and transfer tokens. It's kind of like the Ethereum ERC20 token standard, just without the smart contracting infrastructure around it that makes a token market function, allowing DeFi and complex financial functionality to evolve alongside. Tokens minted on the BRC20 standard are fungible, just like the vast array of tokens minted on Ethereum. So this is how BRC20 tokens work. A token creator inscribes a 5-line text file, which includes the bare details of the token, including a ticker symbol, a max supply, and a minting limit per transaction. Interested parties can then mint the token by inscribing their own text file, minting the BRC20 token to be represented by that inscription. Tokens are minted on a first-come, first-served basis, so there's the potential to spend Bitcoin fees and receive nothing in return if the mint is about to hit its limit. There's no functionality to any of the tokens so far, there's no smart contracting available, there's just a max supply and a name, but that's enough to create a meme coin. So far, there have been over 12,000 sets of tokens created using BRC20. According to marketplace tracker BRC20.io. A little over 50 of them are seeing active trading. As you might expect for something this experimental, the market is almost entirely made up of meme coins, with some of the most popular coins bearing recognizable ticker symbols like Pepe, SHIB, and BAYC. The total market cap for BRC20 coins is now worth over $270 million. Now, of course, when we talk about market cap, we should have a grain of salt, because we're talking about the most illiquid and nonsense crypto market ever devised. Earlier this week, some of the top 20 coins only managed a few hundred dollars in daily volume, but that has increased by an order of magnitude in just the last few days. The most popular handful of coins are seeing trading volumes in the tens or even hundreds of thousands. First BRC20 coin, Ordi, is now over 200 million in market cap and leads the volume with over 3 million worth of trading per day. Now, much like image ordinals, initial interest was sparse until the tooling improved. In early April, specifically designed wallets appeared to streamline the minting and storage process. At that stage, trading was still exclusively over the counter, organized on chat platforms like Telegram, and external websites featuring primitive order books. The Bitcoin network does not support smart contracts as such, so decentralized exchanges were believed to be impossible to build. Now, this week, some BRC20 enthusiasts have begun discussing how some rudimentary smart contracting and decentralized exchanges could be built using ordinal inscriptions, so we'll have to see if anything comes out of that. Towards the end of April, Huobi became the first centralized exchange to support BRC20 tokens, listing some of the most popular offerings. OKX and Binance are working rapidly to build some level of support for the tokens as well. So what the hell to think of these things? Well, one important perspective is to view it as an experiment. Domo, the developer who came up with this idea and first minted these Ordi, certainly viewed it as such. Still another set of people, however, view it as a pretty marked playground for innovation. Trevor Owens, who runs the Bitcoin Frontier Fund, said, "Ordinal inscriptions, BRC20, minimum viable products are winning in Web3. Everything Ethereum can do is being done on Bitcoin with Blockspace and custom indexers. No one thought it possible." In a separate tweet, he writes, "I can't believe my eyes. BRC20 demand leading a 700% increase in fees after what we've seen with ordinal inscriptions. 12,800% increase in fees before ordinal inscriptions launched. 300,000 unconfirmed transactions in the mempool." Now, another important aspect of this excited take is folks seeing glimmers of how Bitcoin will remain secure after the block reward subsidy has come to its end. Leonidas.org, host of the Ordinals show, says, "Ordinals just hit an all-time high of 28.4 Bitcoin paid in fees to miners on a single day. Every inscription in BRC20 mint is helping make Bitcoin more secure." In another tweet, he writes, "Bitcoin fees before ordinals, 1 sat per VB. Bitcoin fees after ordinals, 100 plus sats per VB. Ordinals and BRC20 are exposing that Bitcoin block space is the most scarce asset on planet Earth." Now, another take that's enthusiastic but for different reasons sees this as a forcing function for important developments. Some of the biggest proponents of this view have been the Taproot Wizard folks. Eric Wall tweeted on May 2nd, "If you don't know what's going on right now with the fee situation, it's probably because you don't know anything about XEN, Zen, or BRC20. They're both essentially doing the same thing. BRC20 is issuing tokens on Bitcoin in tiny batches via ordinal inscriptions, lots of different tickers. Zen is a specific ERC20 that is issued on ETH and other EVM chains. It is minted for free by wasting gas. Both are essentially, you get a coin if you waste blockchain capacity or burn fees schemes. On top days, Zen has been responsible for around 750 ETH burn per day. If you take that in comparison to what the burn rate is on average, around 2400 ETH per day since the merge, Zen peaks out at 30% or so of the total gas burn. BRC20-related transactions on Bitcoin just exceeded 50%. They're also responsible for around 30% of the total Bitcoin fee expenditure right now. Market dynamics dictate that people will keep issuing these coins as long as issuing them is cheaper than what the shitcoin is worth. Shitcoin demand thus dictates how big the capacity burn is. There is no trivial way to stop this. The way that you limit quote-unquote bloat is by setting block size and gas limits at the consensus level. That someone is using your block space should never come as a surprise to you or have any negative impact on the syncability of the chain or the resource requirements for running a node. That's what consensus limits are for. What these quote-unquote abnormalities can do, however, is cause fee levels to rise and give us a tiny hint into the very natural challenges of scalability that we're eventually going to have to face anyway if we want mainstream adoption. They push us to make sure we have L2 solutions in place and wallet infrastructure that can accommodate it. It's a stress test. It's good, and you should stop crying about it." In another tweet, he wrote, "Mine and Udi's game plan. Step 1, 4 megabyte taproot block. Show the degens what's possible. Step 2, ordinals garbage predictably clogs the chain. Step 3, Lightning finally has a use case. We finally have to prepare wallet infrastructure for mass adoption. Security budget also solved. Laser-eyed maxis, no, you're destroying Bitcoin." Still, this perspective that it's an important forcing function isn't just Udi and Eric. David Bailey, again, the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine, writes, "Moving past the emotional into the practical. Total BRC20 market as of right now is worth 150 million, around 2 million per 24-hour volume. And my guess is less than 10K unique users. As exchanges turn on BRC20 trading, these numbers will 10x, possibly 100x. Fees will grow proportionally to economic opportunity. 2 million in trading volume has already ballooned the mempool. I think it's plausible in these more extreme scenarios for a single on-chain transaction to cost more than $100 in fees. What are the implications of $100 fees? Miners' revenue will explode. If fees 30x, miners will make $60 million a day. Current block rewards are worth less than $30 million daily. Inverse S2F? If the transaction holds enough economic value, MEV will show up. Interested to hear thoughts on what this would look like. On-chain transaction becomes too expensive for most. Outflows from exchanges and custodial wallets will slow. Major forcing function into Lightning. You'd imagine Bitcoin on Lightning would actually trade at a small premium. If BRC20 dies out, problem solves itself, but it won't die out until there isn't an economic incentive to participate. Lasting solution is layer 2 solutions developed and deployed immediately. Building that tooling may also finally kill demand for competing protocols like ETH. Now, it is very like Bitcoiners to zoom far out ahead to what the implications of this might be if it keeps going. And in that light, many see it, even those who are excited about it, as very nascent. Mr. Ray Crypto says BRC20 is the crypto kitty moment for Bitcoin. It will lead to innovations. Leonidas again says BRC20 started as a late-night Twitter thread that theorized a crazy idea of how to do fungible tokens on Bitcoin via the Ordinals protocol. Here we are 54 days later, and BRC20 tokens have a combined market cap of over 150 million. Building on Bitcoin is cool again. And of course, this idea of a stress test I think is pretty legitimate. Seeing how much is being built on Lightning and the anticipation of adoption coming, Blockspace is going to be at a premium in the future. This sort of stress test can signal to or remind developers that they're actually building for something that can handle massively more demand. So this can focus the attention of builders that there is an actual problem to solve here, and it can also find out what breaks with even a mild uptick in demand. Now, what about the counterargument, the anti-BRC20 argument? A lot of it comes down to a notion that this isn't what Bitcoin is for. Now, on the one hand, I'm hyper-free market by disposition. I also find random game theory experiments really interesting. I subscribe to the school of technology development that thinks that a lot of things that look like dumb toys at the beginning go on to be significant and important. I've never been a priori against Ethereum and all the other things like it, because I think having space for those experiments is great. But I've also felt that that's not what Bitcoin is for, right? I personally value other uses for Bitcoin more highly than that token gaming, so my default is to be skeptical. Certainly not to the level of insisting that people don't do a thing, which feels very un-Bitcoin to me, but to the level of being skeptical and keeping an eye on it. Keeping with the broad theme of being excited about Bitcoin builders, I think the through line that feels right to me here is this view of treating it as an experiment, as a stress test, as something that we will learn from, and as something that will make Bitcoin stronger. However, if you're interested in a really strong counter perspective, I'd encourage you to go read an opinion piece from Jamie Garcia called Ordinals Are an Attack on El Salvador's Bitcoin Mission. It was printed as an op-ed on Bitcoin Magazine last week. Now, Jamie gives a list of critiques, and high among them is the potential for people to lose money on speculative hype. But the gist of it is that it's a distraction at best and introduces attack vectors at worst in a context where the work of Bitcoin is, in his opinion and many others, extremely important. So that is your primer on BRC20. It is a thing that you are not going to stop hearing about, and something that is going to cause much more debate and excitement and building in the weeks and months to come. What do you think? I am dying to know. Hit me on Twitter at NLW, of course, or come join us on the Breakers Discord, bit.ly/breakdownpod. The BRC20 debate is afoot, and there is no escaping it. This has been Bitcoin Builders, the weekly breakdown version of Bitcoin Builders. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Wolf in Wolf's Clothing, once again for supporting the show and making it possible. Go check them out, wolfnyc.com. It's a super cool group of people who are helping build the next generation of Bitcoin startups. If you have a Bitcoin startup, if you're even thinking about a Bitcoin startup, I'd highly encourage you to figure out when you can try to apply for one of their future cohorts. And in addition to Wolf, I of course want to thank you guys, the listeners, the Bitcoin community. You make this exciting, you make this fun, and so until next time, let's build.